Hey everybody, welcome back to Check the Gate and AFI Deep Dive. I'm Bert, and as always, I'm joined here with Brandon.
Hello.
And Michael.
Hello.
And today we are doing our ninth film in our random grab bag pick. This is a Brandon pick. This is your last film that you wanted to do, but more importantly, this was the first film that came out of your mouth when I said, Brandon, what's your pick? Why this one? Why was this one the most important one to you that we should do?
Oh, man, when this movie came out, 2014?
15.
15, whatever. Just close enough. It blew my mind. I think it was ahead of the game. The technical aspect of it was, incredible.
Yeah.
And guess what? I think it still holds up.
Yeah, you think so?
Yep. And I think the timing of doing this couldn't be better,
Yeah.
About 10 years later.
We got a bunch of synthetics walking around out there.
Ooh. With everything that, Tesla's doing with the Optimus, the robots, everything, AI. It's perfect.
But you got to say it like Common. AI.
Yeah. Except for I'm not trying to sell AI, so.
Do you talk to your phone like those commercials are telling us to do? Where you set up your AI machine and...
Depends.
I fuck with my Snapchat AI all the time. Yeah,
so do
I. I'm creating a monster.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like AI is just everywhere right now, and I think it's just the beginning. And, we've been cautioned... warned before.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good movie to refresh people's memories on what could happen.
Yeah. Like Oscar Isaac says, one of these days the AI is going to be looking at us like we look at dinosaur fossils.
Bingo. Bingo.
Spooky. Michael, had you seen this before?
No, and I'm glad I watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you liked it?
I watched it last night with my brother.
Oh,
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, I was hanging out, and I was about to watch it, and then Rose was like, hey, you want to get on Discord? And I was like, I'm watching a movie, but sure. So I was like, I'll just have it on, because usually we just sit there anyways. He's like, what are you watching? So we ended up watching it together. And yeah, what an eye-opening. Yeah, just because everything right now, and everything's using AI, and it's just so funny, like what I know about AI, and it's just basically simulating a language-learning model, but it's like, you spending time with this being and it learning everything about you based on I dug the movie. It was great.
Good.
See, I thought you would love this movie, like right down your alley. Like,
well, like,
did I ever actually say what the name of the movie? Did I ever actually? We're doing Ex Machina, by the way.
Oh yeah, we might not have talked about.
Go for it. Anyway, finish your thought. We were talking, I was like, I don't even know if I did a proper
introduction.
We just
got so excited over this movie.
Yeah,
yeah, it's like just representing, like, it learning everything about you, not from just, like it's speaking to you, but, like, your, body language and everything, and it's just, it's insane.
Not
but
just what it's programmed,
Ulterior motives, maybe, question mark?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who's the test really on?
Yeah,
seriously.
Yeah. Fellow, well, maybe not friend of everybody, but mutual acquaintance, Dave, y'all know who I'm talking about, mm-hmm. was obsessed with this movie for the longest time. And I never saw it in theaters because it had a small opening in December of 2014, but it didn't really go wide until 2015. That's why all my stuff is for 2015, because that's when all the actual math for it actually happened. But we never really got it in Idaho.
Right.
So this was one of the very few movies that I bought sight unseen. Dave's like, you're going to love it. Dude, when Oscar Isaac says he's going to tear up the damn dance floor, like that was the one scene that he talked about over and over. So I didn't know what I was getting into, and then it was a mindfuck of a...
That was so funny because I was watching it, and then I saw them dancing. I was like, wait, and you sent me that gift.
I know, I was like worried. I was like, oh, hopefully that doesn't spoil it for anybody. But then I was like, no.
I don't know.
Really,
that's just
a
random scene. Yeah. It's a great scene, though.
Yeah, I thought it was just, you know, they were just, you just dancing. I was like, okay, cool. And then I was like, wait.
But you can totally, like, imagine you're just stuck in this house laboratory, right? With just these robots, and you just create this, like,
slowly slowing into madness.
Yeah, and you just create this synchronized dance with a robot. Like, I would totally do that, right?
Yeah.
You
know.
Calling her a robot would be a spoiler, though.
Yeah.
But, you know. I didn't send a gif of her peeling her face off.
Oh, love that. Like,
I would say the visual effects look phenomenal in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
With the exception of those eyes. For whatever reason, like when Kyoko, is that her name? She takes her face off, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Everything looks really good, but the eyes just looks, and I think it's just because they're just the bright, the big
soulless
circle orbs that look like they're popping out of her head, but
I think that's
the,
like, on purpose, though, to make it so it seems like there's no soul, there's no
but I mean, even just in Alicia Vikander's entire look in this film is like exquisite. Like, it's so small, because obviously half of what she's wearing is just like a costume, but there is that green screen effect of the of her legs, arms, and waist, but
the waist, and like the neck, you know, where the internal hardware is exposed, is just one of the coolest looks of any movie, you know.
Yeah,
and it's just always there. It's not like a cut scene or anything. Like, it's just that's the character. It's costume.
Yeah. Let's dive into this puppy.
Hell yeah.
Like I said, we're doing Ex Machina 2015 film. For reference, I'm referring to it as 2015, like I already said, just because that was when it went wide. But it's about a young programmer who selected to participate in a groundbreaking experiment in synthetic intelligence by evaluating the human qualities of a highly advanced humanoid AI. We're about to get into the top films of 2015. This year, the top five films all crossed $1 billion.
Jesus Christ.
So the number three film was Furious 7.
Hmm.
Number two was Jurassic World. And number one was Star Wars The Force Awakens. So we're in sequel land here.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's been 10 years since those movies came out.
Yeah, which Force Awakens also stars Oscar Isaac and Domhnall Gleeson.
Yeah, it's just crazy. That was 10 years ago. Like, this movie just does not feel like it was made 10 years ago.
No. And I think it, the originality of this film, too, and then we talk about the top grossing films, is a little depressing. Because this, I would put this movie over all three of those.
And were any of those movies nominated for an Academy Award like this was?
Star Wars was. Star Wars lost an Oscar to this movie, but we'll get there in a second. A ticket cost in 2015, $8.43, which I say, not in Idaho, it did. That's equivalent to $11.15 our money. The budget for this film was $15 million, which is equivalent to $19.8 million, and the box office was a mere $37.3 million, which is equivalent to 49.3. So it over doubled its budget, didn't really have much of an ad campaign, so it probably actually made a pretty penny off that. It was nominated for 2 Academy Awards and only won one. It lost original screenplay for writer-director Alex Garland, and it won best visual effects, to which it was highly considered an insane underdog. Because the visual effects in this are minimal. They're there, obviously. I mean, the Alicia Vikander's entire out, you know, we already talked about that. But it beat what people thought was going to win, which was Star Wars The Force Awakens, was the big CGI visual effects juggernaut. And this movie is the lowest grossing film to ever win visual effects.
That's a statistic.
Yeah. So
that's crazy.
The bar is $37.3 million spent. Sorry, that's how much it grossed, but $15 million, how much they spent on the entire film, where Star Wars is probably a $200 million.
Yeah, what you look at like Avatar, like how much of the budget was spent on graphic design and like computer animation and all that, and then you look at this movie that had a budget of $36 million or $15 million, excuse me.
Small but strong, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
There was something I was going to add, and now I can't remember. Must not have been important. We start this film. We kind of meet Domhnall Gleeson. His name is Caleb in the film. I'm going to refer to him as Domhnall Gleeson in this movie. We see that there's some sort of like office competition. He works for some tech company, kind of like a Facebook thing. I think it's called Blue Book in this film. He's a coder. He has an email that says, "You won." So he's letting all three of his people that he knows know, hey, I won the competition. Hey, you know, Caleb won the competition. That's so cool. And his prize is he gets a week getaway with his boss. Does that sound enticing? Of course, your boss probably isn't a billionaire tech mogul, but he boards a helicopter, takes him out in the middle of nowhere, which I discovered was Norway. I don't know if they never say where they are, but the filming location for this movie was in Norway. He takes off. They land in the middle of nowhere, just kind of like in a wooded, you know, glen clearing area. They drop him off. The helicopter driver says, "I'll be back in a week. Just follow the river and through the woods to grandmother's house you go."
Nah.
he makes his way and he finds this. It's hard to tell what this kind of place is. It kind of almost looks like
a
modular. Yeah, like a. You just kind of see a little bit of it. Very bunker-esque. There's a machine that says it's going to take his picture, and he does the silly face, like trying to look at what he's supposed to look at. And it takes his photo and it prints off the silly key card with his dumb looking face on it.
Prints it in metal. It like etches it in metal. It's like, here's your stupid face.
He gets access to this house and it's immaculate. Beautiful, spacious, definitely an Airbnb I would look into.
Yeah, for sure. No windows, though.
Mm-mm. And no doors. he finally finds Oscar Isaac, who is his tech boss. His name is Nathan. He's out back pounding a sound, doing the old boxing bag, hit bag. He comes in. "Hey, you know, how you doing? I was going to have breakfast with you, but I kind of tied one on last night. Do you need any food?" Like, out of the gate, this guy is eccentric as fuck. And right away, I'm like, oh, now I know why Dave likes this movie. He just wants to watch Oscar Isaac be Dave for an hour and a half.
For the whole movie.
He's excited. "Hey, we're going to have a lot of fun. FYI, I drink a lot. We're going to get down. But before I show you the fun stuff, I need you to sign this crazy NDA. He's going through and he's talking about how, like...
It's all pretty standard.
It's pretty standard. In most cases, a lawyer?
In most cases when people say that, it's not standard.
It's not.
But she then says, okay, it's not standard. But... you know, it's all saying, like, you can't talk about what we did just even audibly, orally. I can sue you if you even mention it out loud, electronically, you know, calling somebody on the phone. And then we find out later that he would be able to find out, you know, pretty quickly if you did. But Oscar Isaac kind of cuts the chase, goes, okay, listen, it's not standard, but here's the thing. In 1 year, you can either not sign the NDA, and we can have a great time. We'll get drunk. We'll do a little dancing. And we'll just have a great time. We'll bro down. And that'll be fun. But a year from now, when you see what we've been working on and what you could have been a part of, you're going to be kicking yourself." To which, you know, he goes, "Oh, okay." And he just signs the thing right away. Good man. He lets him in, telling him that he has made a synthetic AI. And he asked him if he knows what the Turing test is, which is, you know, whether a synthetic AI knows it has consciousness or not, and whether it, you know, it's almost kind of Blade Runner rules, you know, the entire test that we watched however many years ago that was when we did Blade Runner.
a lifetime ago.
Yeah. You're here to test my AI to see if it has consciousness of its own. Stoked. get me in there. Let's check it out. You know, we cut to him in a glass cube, and with Oscar Isaac watching from monitors in another room. And then Alicia Vikander comes in as our synthetic robot, Ava. Her name is Ava. We've already discussed, she looks phenomenal. The look is sleek, great. They really like showing off that midriff, just that see-through midriff with the that blue neon in there. It's chef's kiss.
Yeah.
They start striking up a conversation. You know, what's your name? Who are you? You know, how old are you? Oh, I'm one. One what? One year, one day. I'm one. You know, I've always known how to speak. Yada yada. We kind of cut a little bit back and forth mid sessions. You know, every chapter kind of begins with Ava session one, you know, Ava session two, so on so forth. And then what seems like mid session will cut, you know, to Oscar Isaac and Domhnall Gleeson kind of talking about what they went over in that last session, which is here. And Gleeson is all jacked. He's super stoked. This is the greatest thing he's ever seen. He wants to pick Oscar Isaac's brain. Oscar Isaac's like, he's like, oh, no, it's cool. I'm actually really smart. Domhnall Gleeson's that. A little doth protest too much kind of thing. No, it's cool. Like, I'm wicked smart. And he goes, it's not that I don't think you aren't. I just want to have a conversation with you. I don't want to, you know, this is supposed to also still kind of be a fun weekend. We can top shop, but we don't need to get into, like, all the crazy, you know, goings-ons. He takes him around the house, shows him, hey, you got a key card with your dumb face on it. You don't know where to go. You're in somebody else's house. I get it. Hit the scanner. If it lights up blue, that's the room you have access to. Tear it up. Do whatever you want in there. Go crazy. If you go it and it stays red, that means you don't belong in there, and that's cool too. Just stay out of there, kind of thing. That night, Gleeson wakes up and he, you know, tries to turn on the old boob tube, turns on the TV, only to see that all the channels are just different security footage cameras, and he gets a little
creeped out.
And we know this because the music in this movie really is emphasizing the emotions we're supposed to feel when it's we're supposed to be happy. It's happy music, but it's the creepy music is creepy a lot in this movie. Almost horror movie-esque.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, it's very horror movie-esque.
Don't know if I would classify this movie as a horror film, even though, you know, how the ending happens, but it's still just, like, I feel like it wants us to be like, okay, this obviously something is not right here.
Yeah.
I didn't know this was an A24 movie.
Yeah. Is one of the first ones, earlier ones.
Yeah, it's like, after knowing that, I'm like, yeah, it's got a A24 vibe, especially with the music. I feel like the music really sends you into each, like, I don't know, scene. Everything that's going on, it's like, you know, encapsulates you in it. But
he finds a channel that is just looking into Vikander's room, and he decides he's going to be a little creep and watch her as she moves about her quarters. But suddenly a system lockdown, a blackout happens, all the lights go out, save for like that emergency red, that bright emergency red light that fills up the entire room. He's freaking out. He can't open his door. The key card's not working. He's locked in his own room. But finally the system, you know, system restored, comes back on and he's able to leave. To which he kind of explores the compound a little bit. He goes into the room, he grabs the phone. Looks like he's going to make a call, and then, you know, Oscar Isaac's behind him. He's like, you don't have access to the phone. Key card doesn't work. That really funny drunk scene where Oscar Isaac's clearly wasted. He's like, who are you going to call? And he's like, oh, nobody. Ghostbusters.
It's Ghostbusters. Huh?
Ghostbusters. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. You never saw the movie? Fuck. You never fucking saw Ghostbusters? Like, it's just like a whole thing. Gleeson's still just kind of holding the phone like, no, I wasn't going to call anybody. You didn't get it. You didn't get it. You didn't get it. In the morning, Gleeson is woken up to the maid. Kyoko? Is that what they said her name was? Kyoko. There we go. Coming in, bringing him breakfast. Isaac tells him, hey, for our next session, we don't need to get too technical, you know, just simple questions, simple answers, but I want you to find out how she feels about you, you know, maybe don't make it so, let her ask some, which happens, you know. Vikander then asks, you know, asks him about his life, asks if they want, if he wants to be her friend, but, and he's like, well, what do you mean by that? And she's like, well, you know, we're only talking about myself. I need to, if we want to be friends, we need to learn about each other. And then starts asking about himself. And then he confesses to her that, you know, he's kind of a bit of a loner. He lives in a small apartment. It's a 5-minute walk to work. It's a 10-minute walk to the ocean in his, you know, Long Island, you know, neighborhood. He's originally from Portland, Oregon.
I was like, I funny enough when he said that, I was like, that's where I live. Anyways.
And that he has since been orphaned since his parents died in a car crash. And she seems visibly, you know, saddened by, affected by it. She asks if Isaac...
But I think, but see, like, I struggled with that scene because I'm like, how she doesn't know that. That kind of loss, right?
Right.
So, like, how does she how does she emotionally react?
Well, I think she is. So there's something that I'll say at the end that I found, and then they use this scene as an example of times that she maybe did actually care versus times that she doesn't, you know, actually care. I just think that she might be emoting the way she feels like he would, you know.
Should,
you know,
feel
what I'm saying? You know, yeah. Yeah. A lot of times she's reading his, like, when later when she's like, you have a crush on me, don't you, kind of thing, because I can tell by the way you're...
The way you look at me.
You know, I think she's just highly programmed to respond in specific ways. She's been programmed in a way, but at the same time she's, you know...
Yeah, learning.
Yeah, yeah,
that's learning on the fly.
She's learning, but she's reacting based off of, like...
Yeah, he's clearly saddened by what he just said, so let me... Oh, I'm, you know, that's terrible.
But also, he kind of said it like, am I telling the truth, though, or not? Like, in the context that she asked that, and he just, like, ripped it off the top of his head and said it, and then changed the subject almost immediately. It's like, is it a lie? Is it the truth? Is it, you know?
No.
It's a good scene.
Yeah. She asks, okay, so now that we're friends, are you also friends with Oscar Isaac? And then Gleason, kind of knowing that he's being watched on a monitor, you know, starts kind of like fumbling a response. We're friendly, but, you know, we're not, you know, exactly, you know, we're not like friends. You know, I just kind of met him. And then all of a sudden, you know, another blackout happens. And then Alicia Vikander's demeanor completely changes on a dime. You know, that's when we get that nice horror effect also. Mm-hmm. Where she, like, snaps and is like, do not trust anything he says. He's a liar. Do not trust him. Zzz, power back on. And then she, like, picks up mid-sentence, like they'd had a conversation the entire time. Is that okay with you? And then, like, he's just like, yeah.
And what just happened?
cut to dinner that night between Oscar Isaac and Domhnall Gleeson. We find out that Kyoko can't speak any English. He's like, oh, it's like a trade secret. I can, you know, we can talk about work stuff and I don't have to worry about her, you know, telling anybody, kind of thing, after she spills wine all over him. He asks him, hey, you know, how'd the session go? Gleason brings up, oh, there's one time where she made a joke, like she, like, threw a line back at his face. He goes, yeah, I noticed that too. That's interesting, you know. And he's like, usually, you know, to have the thought process to make a joke, you have to have, you know, some sort of, you know,
understanding of the joke.
Yeah. So all kind of the through line of, is she sentient or not, kind of thing. And then he goes, what happened during the blackout? And he's like, oh, what do you mean? He goes, oh, cameras go down, audio cuts out, I'm flying blind anytime there's a blackout. And then you don't have to be a robot to know that he's lying. He goes, nothing. Just like nothing. You didn't talk about anything. Not a thing. She didn't think it was weird that she didn't think it was weird that the power all went out. Mm-mm. Nope.
I don't know what. Beats me.
We cut to it being night again, and Gleason is staying up and just eerily, creepily watching Vikander on his TV. She's like on the bed, and she like turns and looks right down the barrel of the camera, almost like she knows that he's watching her. And then he kind of has that weird feeling like, does she know? You're almost waiting for him to like wave at the camera a little bit. But in the morning, Oscar Isaac takes Gleason to the lab where he created Vikander. He tells him, oh, FYI, like, I hacked everybody's phones on Earth. I used their cameras, their microphones. That way I can get the vocalization and speech correct, how people talk to each other, communicate.
Again, far off from
the
truth.
Should we all say hi to our FBI agent?
Yeah, right, hello, CIA.
Hey, guys.
Hello, FBI.
What I loved about it, too, is he's like, oh, yeah, I hacked everybody's phones, but then I told all the cell phone carriers.
And they're not
going
to do anything about it because they do it all the time.
Yeah.
And they can't call me out without, you know.
I was like, oh, that's maniacally clever.
Right. He throws a truth in there, like a real truth.
Yeah.
And then I also use people's search engines. You know, people were using search engines to figure out how to sell shit to consumers. I do it because I want to learn, you know, how people think. The process of being like, why am I going here, to that kind of stuff. And, you know, we get into a few other things that, you know, he's maybe checking out while, so it's all part of the thing. Every time you're typing in something into your computer, just know that 85 people are watching you do it. At the next session, Vikander shows Gleason like a drawing that she had made. He asked where she would want to go if she ever was able to get out of this compound bunker. And then she gives him the answer of like a traffic intersection, just to, like, people watch. And he goes, oh, it's a date. We'll go on a, it'll be great. And then she's like, oh, a date. That sounds good. Stay in one spot. Close your eyes. Don't move. Close your eyes. I have a surprise for you. She leaves, comes back. She's wearing a full-up dress. She's got, you know, the wig on. It's probably a really great day on set for Alicia Vikander. She didn't have to get all gussied up. She just probably showed up in clothes. didn't have to put a skin-tight green screen costume on. He says she looks good and that, you know, she would like to go on this date with him. He goes, yeah, after the traffic intersection, we can maybe go see a show or something.
The traffic intersection. I forgot about that part.
And then she, you know, she says, would you actually really like to go on a date with me? And he's like, well, what do you mean? She goes, well, I can tell that you like me, like, right? Like, I can tell by the way you make eye contact with me in certain times and then other times look away, like trying to keep away from my gaze. There are times where she slips into full computer mode, you know, where she just sounds like she's just recycling data that she just, you know, downloaded off him, essentially. Where she's just, like, regurgitating a bunch of, you know...
blanket statements.
Yeah, just... Yeah. Well, because the way that you are looking at me or not looking at me at certain times in the conversation gives off the feeling that maybe you... You know, your pulse palpitations in your neck, you know, when we have... To which we cut to, it's now night. He's doing his nightly creep watching. Where now he's literally watching her disrobe. You know, taking the wig off, taking the clothes off. And then we get like a close up on the side of his neck with his the pulse thing she was just talking about, and he's got a little goose pimples on his neck. That morning, he asks why Oscar Isaac felt the need to give Ava sexuality. Why not it just be a computer, you know? And he's like, "Well, sexuality is part of a personality," you know. He says, "You know, without it, you know, we're trying to pass this off as human like as possible." To which Gleason believes that, oh, you just programmed her to like me. That's not true. You know, I programmed her to be heterosexual. You know, it just so happens she's programmed to, like men. If she's flirting with you, she's flirting with you for a reason. Oh, BT Dubs, if you want to fuck it, you could.
yeah. I was like, oh, goodness.
It's a built-in pocket pussy in there. there's sensors in there and everything. She'll love it. It's all good. Gleason asks in their next session if she knows that she's being tested, to which she says no. Another blackout occurs, and she tells him that she's the one who's actually causing the blackouts. So if they ever need to be sneaky, have a conversation. She's overloading, the servers, causing the blackouts because she's charging something or whatnot. Gleason tells Oscar Isaac that he doesn't believe there was an actual competition, but that he was chosen, for a main reason. It must be because of my wicked hacking. I'm a great coder. Oscar Isaac, he's like, hey, you're right. The whole thing was the whole competition was a smokescreen. You're right. We wanted the best coder in the company. While watching the TV at night, Gleason sees that Oscar Isaac is in Alicia Vikander's room. There's no audio, but we see that he's clearly tearing up a photo that she had drawn. Gleason goes to look for him, finds him. He's wasted. He's like, hey, man, why don't you stop being so stressed out and, dance with me or something. He hits the thing, so the music's going up. He goes, I saw you tear up Ava's picture. And he goes, I'm about to tear up this fucking dance floor, dude. And then there's, a four-minute dance break in this movie with him and Kyoko dancing.
Well-choreographed dancing.
Yeah, choreographed dancing, yeah.
Beautiful.
At the end of it, Gleason takes a drunk Oscar Isaac back to his room. Vikander decides in their next session that she actually wants to test Gleason. She asks him simple questions like, what's your favorite color? I'll know if you're lying, so be honest with me. Let's be open and honest. What's your favorite color? He goes, red. Lie. All right, good point. I'm not 6 years old. I don't have a favorite color. And she goes, okay, there we go. Now we're working here. What's your earliest memory? He spouts something off about some other kid in kindergarten. She calls him a liar again. And then I can't remember specifically what the actual memory was, but she said it was more of a sound. The third question, she asks if she knows what will happen to her if she fails the test. He says, I do not know. I have no idea. The blackout happens again, and now she's like, okay, now we can actually have a real conversation here. Do you want to be with me? Ooh, he's kind of taken aback by it. And then it cuts right away from there. We cut to him with Oscar Isaac and Domhnall Gleeson together. He tells him that the next model, we're pretty close, but we're not there yet. The model after Ava, that's going to be the one that's really going to, blow everyone's minds. To which he says, what will happen to Ava once, these tests are done? And he moves forward and he goes, well, essentially we just kind of wipe the mind, start from scratch. I keep the body, kind of thing. He's like super weird about it. He's like, I keep the body. But essentially we start over, new face, new mind, everything. To which he freaks out. He's worried that his robot friend is going to get shut off. He's wandering around the compound, to which he runs into Kyoko, who then reveals that she herself is also an android. And starts peeling her face off, showing that she's an AI as well. Oscar Isaac, who's wasted on the couch, Gleason steals his key card, goes and gets on his computer, starts looking at all the different variations of, not necessarily Ava, but Mach 1, Mach 2, Mach 3, of the different ones of all the different security footages of, first it's just a pair of legs walking around, then we get a torso, we get arms, we get legs. We get another interview process with another android with Oscar Isaac, and she's asking why he never will let her leave, kind of thing, to the point where she bangs her arms against the wall so much that she's breaking herself apart. Horror music is playing loud and large.
Creepy.
We cut back to Gleason, not Gleason, Oscar Isaac waking up off the couch in a drunken stupor. Ugh, fucking guy gets bed. Shit, where's my key card? I lost my key card. Fuck, Luckily, Gleason's right there, and he goes, oh, hey, he does the old fake, hey, I just picked it up. You just dropped it. It's all good. Yeah. You're drunk. Go to bed. I did like that, the touch of him, scraping it on the ground, so he has the sound of,
yeah,
well, it's right here. Just pick it up, you know. But Gleason's going through it. Now he's starting to worry. You know, the old Blade Runner, is Harrison Ford a replicant? Yes, replicant, yeah. No. Starts freaking out. Have all my memories been implanted? What's going on? So he takes a razor blade and starts cutting his arms open, digging, looking for wires. Nope, instead he's just bleeding everywhere. That next morning, he has a session with Ava and says, I'll cause a blackout, right, Meow? She does. Tells her, hey, you and I, we're busting out of this. We're getting out of here. I'm going to get him wasted. I'm going to take his key card, and I'm going to change the programming so that during a blackout, instead of the doors all being locked, they're all open. That way, and then at 10 o'clock, you cause a blackout, and we can get out of here. And he'll just be blackout drunk. He won't even know what happened until the next day. She says, you got it, dude. That morning, he shows up at breakfast. He's all chipper and happy. Hey, tomorrow, man, it's your last. You're going home tomorrow. How was it? He goes, oh, man, has it been a week already? Kind of like the, hey, we should celebrate. You know, it's like, let's get fucked up. And he goes, nah, man, I've been tying went on way too much lately. It's mineral detox and brown rice for me. I'm detoxing, baby. Feel free to get fucked up if you want. But me, brown rice and mineral water. That's all I got. Oh, shit, before you go, did she pass the test? We don't know if she passed the test or not. And then Gleason goes, yeah. This is when the first time I watched it, I was picking up. I was like, he doesn't fucking need you to tell him, you know, because he's doing the whole thing like, oh, yeah. Yeah, based on the, yeah, she passed. And that's when Oscar Isaac hits us with the big reveal that, or, I don't know, maybe she's just pretending to like you to get you to try to bust her out. And he's like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. He goes, come on. I'll show you the footage. I'll let you off the hook. Like, he's still super chill and laid back about it. Because, you know, we find out this is all part of her test. He reveals that I brought you here as a ruse. He refers to him as the rat in the maze. I told you you were testing her to figure out if she has consciousness. I figured that out a long fucking time ago, brother. She does. Wicked smart, that one. I tasked her with fucking with a rube to try to get you to bust her out as a way of using that consciousness, making you feel guilty, having that connection. And you almost got away with it too, brother. Look, I'll even show you. Here's the audio. Yeah, of that image you were looking at, and he was like, he's probably watching right now, isn't he? Like, that whole kind of thing. He's like, and then while this happened, I put a new camera in there so I could hear everything that was happening during the blackouts, because these guys are on batteries. Cuts, I like how he's like doing the, here's me putting the camera down. He goes, he's putting it down, pick it up, put it down, pick it up, whoop, tick, click, 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 click. Then we cut to the footage of him listening, you know, to obviously them being like, I'm going to get him drunk. We're busting you out. We're getting you out of here. You almost got away with it, too. Uh-huh. Anyway, it's 10 o'clock. The blackout happens. Oh, there it is. Oh, silly girl. Anyway, how were you planning on doing it? And he goes, oh, I was going to take your key. I was going to get wasted. I was going to take your key card. I was going to reprogram, you know, yada, what we just talked about, you know. When a blackout happens, the doors will unlock, and he goes, oh, that actually would have been a pretty good idea. He's sitting there, Gleason's kind of sitting there in his own filth. You know, he asks him, he's like, did you use my pornography searches to make her look the way she did? That way I'd be more intrigued. He goes, hey, listen, brother, like I said, search engines can be used all the time. It's, don't get all worked up about it. Good plan, though. Good plan. Could have worked. And he goes, sure could have. That's why I did it to you yesterday when I got you drunk yesterday.
What?
And you see the look of panic on Oscar Isaac's face, like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. And, like, he punches him in the face, like, knocks him out in one
knocks
punch.
Knocks him out, yeah.
What a momentum shift. He's just like, aha, I got you. I got you. And then Shift's like, no, bitch, I got you.
I got you.
He runs into his weight room and he grabs, he takes all the dumbbells off, so he's got something weighted in his hands. He goes out in the hallway. We see Ava in the hallway. She's out. We never actually see her escape, but she's in the hallway. She's looking at all the different faces of the Greek tragedy masks. The Deus Ex Machina masks, if you will. which means God in the Machine, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
In real side tangent here, because I think it is important to talk about right now. Deus Ex Machina means God in the Machine. In Greek plays, tragedies, comedies, whatever, whenever something bad happens at the end, they would have the God character swoop in and make it a happy ending. Usually in some sort of mechanism, they call the machine, they call it, make it a happy ending. A Deus Ex Machina is now whenever something bad happens in a movie and there's no way out, something happens that fixes it instantly. The eagles in Lord of the Rings would be considered a Deus Ex Machina kind of thing. So this movie is essentially saying there's no God. It's just the machine, so it's not going to be a happy ending. Thought that was important because we're literally looking at the Deus Ex Machina masks at the end. He tells her, "Go, young lady, go back to your room." She straight up bull charges him, tackles him to the ground. Feels like he should have been a bit more injured by that. It's a giant robot just straight up bull rushes him.
I mean, that's got to be emotionally scarring, you know.
Well, gets up. I'm just saying, like, he then just, like, gets back up on his feet and she's on the ground. He uses the dumbbell and breaks her arm. But Kyoko, sneaky, goes up and stabs him. Literally stabs him in the back. E tu, Brute? he turns around. What the fuck? And bashes her in the head with the dumbbell. Essentially kills her, I guess. Turns her off, I guess, in a way.
Yeah.
Okay. To carry you, Ava stands up, takes the knife out of his back. Oh, fuck. And he turns around, stabs him right in the heart. Oh, motherfucker. I like how he's walking away. He's mumbling. He looks straight up like DJ Khaled in this moment, too. Just the oversized white shirt, his shaved head with the big beard. And he's just like, I love he's just walking down the hallway just going, fucking unreal.
What are the odds of this?
He collapses. Vikander just pretty much watches the life leave his eyes. She goes into the room where Domhnall Gleeson is. He's coming to after getting sucker punched in the face. Just like how what she said earlier, she says, "Wait here." And then he obliges. And then mirroring the same scene we saw before, of after she says, "Stay here," she puts clothes on. She's literally putting skin on, taking the skin off all the leftover androids. He said he saves the body, so all that skin fits her perfectly. She skins herself, puts clothes on, a wig, and then Gleason's like, wait a second. And he goes to the door, sees that it's locked. The door is locked, and we just get that great shot of her walking past his door, not even acknowledging him, going to the door, the elevator, and leaving and then right before the door closes, she looks over at for like that one split second while he realizes in real time that he has just been bamboozled. And she like, passed.
Who's the bitch
test.
Now?
Yeah. She's all dolled up, casually leaves them behind, and then she goes to her intersection. She doesn't go to intersection.
Yeah.
But we just get that haunting last image of him trying to break that sound glass down, and he's just like, well, this is my tomb.
Yeah.
I am stuck here now.
He tries to get on the computer to ask for help, and then blackout happens. So now he's locked in there forever. Phenomenal picture. That's how it ends. It just ends.
It's just done.
No.
Power outage.
Great film. I like the director and writer a lot, Alex Garland. That's what I meant to talk about earlier. He started as a writer. the director Danny Boyle went to him because he wanted to make a film out of his book, The Beach. Alex Garland had written the book, The Beach. He brought him on to write the screenplay for The Beach. They got along swimmingly, and then he ended up writing for Danny Boyle also 28 Days Later.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Another fantastic.
And Sunshine. They did those three movies, and then they're actually coming back to get... He's also writing 28 Years Later, the third one that's about to come out. He did those three movies with him, and then he... This is his first film he's directed. Another great film he wrote and directed was Annihilation, which is another great film, kind of in this vein, very moody-wise, but...
About, like, space travel. I like that movie.
Oh.
I think it's another underrated movie.
I wasn't a crazy fan about Civil War, and then I've never seen Men, but...
You told me... your opinion on Civil War, and then I watched it and I said that was not too far off of the opinion that I have.
Yeah.
Just boring.
But he's definitely a writer and director that I am excited by. I'll still go see, I'll still go see everything he puts out, because I think, in a world of sequels and unoriginality, I think he's, one of the last bastions of hope and freedom we have.
I would agree, yeah.
But phenomenal film. It's wild that, I hadn't seen this movie by the Oscars, and a lot of people were saying that Alicia Vikander should have been nominated, but instead she was nominated for The Danish Girl that same year, I believe, and then she won for The Danish Girl. But...
Yeah, and I think Oscar Isaac doesn't get enough credit.
Sure. He's got to be that person that... He's doing, I guess, not necessarily the heavy lifting, but he's that driving force that...
Well, and he's just like the lovable, if you will, bad guy, right?
The lovable villain. Is he the bad guy, though?
That's why I did it in quotes.
She says don't trust him, but is that a... So what I was getting at earlier... I had read something that he is in a glass case of emotions, let's say. There are times it cuts to her and you can see her reflection in the glass case, and sometimes you can't see it at all. And whether this is accurate, whether this is what Garland intended, or if it's just somebody writing an article, spouting something because it sounds right, is that... when you see her reflection, it's telling you that it's a two-faced lie. She's double-faced. Oh. And at times where you don't see a reflection, that's a genuine reaction to him. So with the parents dying in a car wreck, that you see her and there's no reflection kind of thing. So I saw that and I watched it twice. I watched it because I hadn't seen it in forever. I watched it a couple weeks ago. Did a little bit of research and then rewatched again this morning. And I was like, oh, okay, I see, whether or not that's accurate, who's to say? I guess the only one who could say is Alex Garland himself, but...
Yeah, and I think it goes to show that she learned a lot more than just, like, what was programmed or what was installed based off of the search.
Yeah.
Engines and search the data, right? She learned human, I would say emotion, but reactions and like conniving, and
she just learned all that. That's why he created the brain.
The brain
out of that liquid too, because it's ever expanding and growing. It's not set in its ways, So it's
It allows it to expand. And
mm-hmm. I like when he's holding up the brain. He's like. He's like, oh, is all the software in here? And he's like, the what? Like, it wasn't even like, it's not even software, It's, I thought that was funny.
It's
like, no, my dear boy, this is not software.
That's why I got a tickle out of it, because there are times where, when he realizes, he's like, am I not even the best coder in the company? He goes, hey, man, you're a great coder. You're a good coder. when it's all coming to a head, they brought him there because he's just a rube who's lonely who probably likes jacking off to girls that look like Alicia Vikander. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much the reason they brought him there. And he signed an NDA and you can't tell anybody about it. Because he's like really, the beginning of the movie, he is really high on his own supply about, he brought me. I figured it out, bro. You brought me here because I'm the, hey, you're right, dude. You're the best coder we got.
You got me.
Mm-hmm. No, that's right. You're wicked smart, dude. No, yeah. even when he's talking about how there's like those little subtle things with Oscar Isaac where he's talking about, it's like, shouldn't, for the Turing test to work properly, shouldn't she not be able to see me? And he goes, no, if you just heard her over the, like, over the phone, you would know she would pass as human. But the whole point is, clearly see that she's a robot. Now you have, and then he goes, yeah, I think that would work. And then Oscar Isaac goes, like, has that, like, his
the eye roll.
Like, the eye roll is like, oh, yeah, okay. Like, yeah. Glad you thought of it. Like,
you could totally get that feel from Oscar Isaac, too, that Gleason's just totally fanboying, and yeah, he's going to just eat up anything that he says. So he's just kind of, like, turned off by the whole thing. He's like, just do what I tell you, please. Just.
But then also at times twists his words to kind of, like, weirdly fuck with him, too. He's like
you're
like
not the smartest guy in the
room.
Like,
when you called me a god last night? Yeah. He's like, well, I didn't say that. He goes, yeah, no, I turned to you, and I said, and you said, no, this isn't man. You're a god.
Your words, not mine.
Yeah,
you said it, not me.
I'm quoting you. Where the Oppenheimer quote, he's like, yeah, I know it's not you who quoted it. There you go, Mr. Quotable. There you go. I didn't say that. But great film.
Yeah, it was great.
Anything else we want to talk about before we
talk? No, but I think everybody should watch it because I don't think a lot of people have, and I think it's very underrated. Nobody, when I first saw this movie, nobody had ever heard of this movie.
I wouldn't have known it existed had Dave not,
yeah. It was just kind of like a cult following at first, and nobody, but the more and more I tell people about it, the more I make people watch it, everybody loves this movie. It's so good.
I'd probably seen some, like, posters of it, maybe heard of it here and there, but until we're like, all right, this week we're watching Ex Machina, I'm like, what is this?
But yeah, you can, like, the cover of the movie, just the title cover of the movie picture is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like I said at the top, I didn't really know what I was getting into. All I knew is that Dave really liked Oscar Isaac in this, because it like came out around the same time as like A Violent Year, and that was another movie that he was really into. He was all aboard the Oscar Isaac Express. It was in between Man in the High Castle and Ex Machina, like his two favorite things of all time. But it's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
If you're listening, Dave.
Oh, Dave.
It's pretty good.
Hey, Dave. Hope you're doing
hey,
well.
Hey, Dave.
Anyway, next time, we're fast-forwarding about 3 weeks. This movie came out. The movie we just did came out April 14th-ish. This next movie came out about 3-4 weeks later in May. We are moving from the chilly mountains of Norway to the desert plains of Australia, and we're getting our motors running, heading out on the highway. We're talking Mad Max Fury Road, guys.
Hell yeah.
Sick.
I've been waiting my entire life to have people have to sit in a spot and listen to me rave about one of the greatest movies in the last 25 years.
Can't wait. I just watched it, the whole, all of them, just like... Oh. A month
Hell
ago.
Yeah, brother. I'm going to have to.
So good.
I don't even need notes for this movie we're doing next. I can recite this whole thing. There's 8 words spoken, but anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll be back next time with Mad Max Fury Road. What do you say we go ahead and cut print check the gate?
Can't wait.
See ya.